consulting hypnotist. We had this chat yesterday. This is the terminology introduced by the NGH to upgrade and replace hypnotherapist. And again, in terms of testing, we've been finding that word converts even better. So that's why we're sticking with that term, consulting hypnotism. Followed by the consulting hypnotism as a profession. This is our official definition nowadays. The art of helping normal everyday people with normal everyday problems. Motivational coaching by means of hypnotism. That is what our title is. That is what our profession is about. There's an extension sometimes added to this of using individual hypnotic techniques. And what that extension basically allows to say that, okay, Becky is doing hypnosis and she and I do it differently, but we both get results. So it allows the individual style, is what that phrasing comes down to. Take note of what words are not inside of that definition. It doesn't necessarily say healthcare. It doesn't necessarily say mental disorder. It is a brilliantly crafted series of words because it also builds in the protection of our profession. Because to say that we cannot help normal everyday people with normal everyday problems, you would have to diagnose everybody with even the mildest of a concern with a mental disorder for that statement not to be applied. So it is a brilliantly crafted piece of highly political language, normal everyday people with normal everyday problems. We mentioned compounding of suggestions. Thank you. We mentioned compounding of suggestions. Direct drive is probably your simplest form of compounding of suggestions. And we'll detail this in more detail later, where it's basically a method of delivering the same hypnotic suggestion over and over and over on repeat. My addition to it is to add in the emotional through line as this phrase repeats, feel that confidence increasing more and more, which now adds a more leveled compounding nature to it rather than just it's on repeat. We'll hit that in more detail later. But do you notice how we're covering all sorts of information here that when we get to that information later, you're going to go, oh, I already know that. Because you already know that. Man, that's clever. Dissociation, we can link with association. Association, you are inside of the experience. Dissociation, you are observing the experience. In it versus out of it. And in terms of different techniques, we're going to see the places where we want to be associated into the experience or we want to be dissociated. To go back and rewind to the age regression conversation, revivifying, it's as if you're actually there. Is that association or is that dissociation?
Association.
What did you have for breakfast this morning?
A smoothie.
Yeah. Was he associated or dissociated?
Dissociated.
Well, we actually really don't know. And as you imagine, there you that smoothie, where are you?
Here.
Are you drinking the smoothie now? No. Okay, so now we have some criteria, dissociated. But if he responded, I was in my kitchen. Now it's past tense. Now we've got dissociated language. And there's some clever tricks to bring people in and out of the association, dissociation pattern, which, by the way, just simply playing with that has got to be one of the best strategies for dissolving away anxiety. More on that later. But wait, there's more. To emerge, we've talked about that. It's the process of coming out of hypnosis. Why do you think we don't want to say wake up from hypnosis?
It's abrupt.
The answer would be because it's abrupt. That's definitely true. But then again, I could phrase it in a way that at a count of 1 to 5, you'll wake up from the hypnotic process. 1, waking up more and more. 2, feeling that energy rise, blah, blah, blah. 5, waking up. Why do you think we don't want to say wake up?
Because you're not asleep.
Because you're not asleep.
But Jason,
yes.
Why do you, like yesterday, that the instant induction, you go sleep?
Awesome. And I wait for the moment for you all to ask the question rather than me bring it up. Why do we use the word sleep inside of an instant induction? There are some moments where the answers I'll give you will seem very dissatisfying. There's a moment later today where there's a technique that I'll share with you, fractionation for those of you that already know of it, where we do it 3 times. And why do we do it 3 times? The answer is very scientific. 4 is too many and 2 is not enough. That's really all it comes down to. So unfortunately, the answer with the instant induction with the word sleep is that we have yet to find another word that works as well. in the command form, in that moment of, now I am working hard to rebrand instant inductions as no longer being referred to as shock inductions. I think that's unfortunate phrasing. Instead, it's a pattern interrupt induction, and I want us to rebrand it as that terminology, because I think that better describes it, because we can do an instant induction, as you saw, and it doesn't have to be shock. It's the moment where the pattern suddenly changes and now we're off to another direction. So the word sleep, the theory is, in the command form, when the conscious mind doesn't have time to make a decision, the unconscious mind will understand the word sleep in the command form as if, relax deeply, as if asleep. And all I can simply say is we're going to learn this technique in this course. Experiment it for yourself. We cannot find another word, even in other languages. It's not just the tonality, the staccato nature of sleep, even though in German it's pretty awesome. Schlaf! anyone here speaks other languages? What's another word for sleep in another language? Yeah. Is it different, that's Tagalog? I remember from the... Okay. And in the, is it different in a command form? Because I know different languages have that.
It's very gentle. It's like, that.
Yeah.
Sleep now.
How would it be said? Let me throw a connotation here. What's the children's book that's now making the rounds that's really not for children? Go to blank to sleep. how would it be phrased in that context? Okay. Yeah. And I'm only asking just because I'm not... Can you just hit the tonality, hit the pronunciation?
if you want to say
it... Just because I'm not hearing all the syllables.
If you just want to say it forcefully, you go... D-d-d-no.
Which, again, I know of hypnotists who train internationally, and they'll do the training, and the format of this is actually widely accepted, which I love, and it's something that I'm looking at doing next year. Of I would be teaching you, and then meanwhile some of you would have headsets on and a translator would be explaining it. And it's moments where Sean Michael Andrews is the one I'm referring to. He'll do the demo and he'll say sleep in the command form in the native language of where he is. But then he'll do the deepening technique, which is covering information we haven't talked about yet. He'll deliver the deepening in English. And because the intention is there, it still works. If there is a close second to the word sleep, perhaps it's the word melt. Melting into that. But I want to turn it into the, let me nerd out my grammar here. I'm going to want to turn it into the gerund phrase, which is where you take a verb and you add ing to the end. Melting into that chair, every breath you exhale, helping to guide you further down. But again, it's one of those moments where, unfortunately, at this time, we have yet to find another word that works so well. Now, we'll talk about this. We can talk about it here. There is an option that in your pre-talk, you could explain this ahead of time. Because Keith, in the process today, what's interesting is I've already told you that your mind is active and alert the entire time. So you already understand, you're not going to be asleep. However, what's interesting is sometimes I may make use of that word sleep. And what's interesting is in the process, your conscious mind will fully be aware that you're alert, you're awake the entire time. However, it's the unconscious mind that will hear that word in the command form to mean relax deeply, as if asleep. Kind of cool, right? Which I will openly tell you, I have taught that to several hundred students. I have never made use of it myself. My filter is always, I will only teach you things I have done myself. Yet I teach that because it's something that some people wanted as an option. I have yet to find it to be necessary. In fact, my introduction to an instant induction in most cases is very simple. Hey, we've already done hypnosis together before. It's kind of interesting. We can go into the process today a little faster. This is kind of fun. Press on my hand. Close your eyes. That's my get ready. That's it. I'll teach you how to condition that method later on. But again, I've never done the conditioning. But I will teach it to you for the sake of completeness. Because when all else fails, apply suggestion. Hey, we can go into hypnosis even faster today, is all I have to say. Does that answer your question about the word sleep? Yeah. It's a dissatisfying answer, I know, but it really is, unfortunately, the answer. So, embedded command, this is a suggestion given indirectly inside of a larger statement. For the grammar nerds in the room, It is a dependent clause inside of a longer independent clause. Yeah. Thank you, Mrs. Antley, sixth grade English. It's the command form, go deeper now. It always begins with a verb in the action tense, in the active voice, which, as a side note, the methodology of learning an embedded command is also the methodology to stop using passive language in your stop using passive language, which in most journalism, in most writing, the biggest fault is people using passive language. It's more interesting, it's more dynamic to be active language and to simply fold into your language more embedded commands indirectly makes you do more active language. Which, as a side note, I've mentioned that several people out there hire me nowadays for consulting, which the time frame we end up doing together would usually be maybe 20% hypnosis education and then like 80% let's work on your business. In the comedy world, there's something called punch-up, which punch-up is where they have the final script and they hire a group of comedians usually to sit around a table, read through the script together, and make it funnier. That's what punch-up is. Anyone ever see the movie Shallow Hal? The bit where Jason Alexander's character has the flaw of having the little nub, the little tail, the comedian Patton Oswalt, that was his writing. So the script was written by other people, but they're reading around, they're going, we need a reason why this guy is being a jerk. He needs to have some sort of imperfection that's going to make it, because he's like the sleazy guy that no girl is good enough for him. We need to come up with something for him that kind of excuses the fact that he's a jerk, but he's just as imperfect as he's labeling these people to be. What if we gave him a nub? Yeah! And they love that. If you ever see a cartoon, and cartoons are sloppy about this, the moment we're on screen, something is happening and a voice off screen says something really funny. It's a moment where punch-up occurred. The ultimate example of punch-up, Rocky Horror Picture Show. The people who started listening to it, and the timing was just not good for the movie. And people in the audience started to yell stuff out, thinking we can make this funnier, and it became this big cult thing, the ultimate version of punch-up. So I mention that history because as we go through their websites, as we go through their brochures and business cards, consistently the only strategy I'm using with them is making their language more active by finding the embedded commands. That was passive. Finding the embedded commands. Let's now make it active. And as you find that passive language and now make it more influential, and as you begin to use your language more directly, it helps you to discover just how powerful your language is. So by the technique for making use of, that was passive, the technique that will help you to make use of more embedded commands is whenever you're about to approach a verb, give it just that split second pause in your mind and help you to decide whether or not it's a moment to use an embedded command or not. Do you hear what I'm kind of doing there? Rather than using the passive gerund phrase, the ing of finding this, no, as you find, this thing is there. Because you naturally use these techniques already. Which, by the way, if you go into any hypnotic script and go through and take a highlighter, find all the verbs, you start to discover just how powerful it is. Or you're finding yourself realizing just how passive it is and it needs to be improved upon. So to find those verbs and decide whether or not it's something you need to activate with more powerful language or continue to allow it to be something passive because the emphasis doesn't need to be there. So very often, and I tell you the dirty rotten secret that I use for websites, is I go through and I decide which things need to be embedded commands. And then I go through, and the first pass, I make them all bold. and then I'm only allowed to have one bolded phrase per paragraph. And that bolded phrase is always an embedded command. And it's the technique to make copy on the page pop out and be so much more influential. Which, by the way, as you were reading your Dave Elman induction last night, several phrases were in bold. You've already been doing this stuff. Boom. Microphone. Okay. We'll play with that more as we go further. A couple of more terms, the rest of it we go through rather quickly. Fascination and fixation. Two similar concepts, and this is me nerding out and getting into terminology way too much. The old classic swinging pocket watch was an eye fixation induction. The eyes are fixated at a specific point. The eyes are a muscle that are kind of meant to move around. Think about it logically for a moment. As I stare at you right now, and Luke, as you stare back at me, the longer you stare at me, your eyes are beginning to feel fatigued. They're feeling as if they want to blink, which that ain't even hypnosis. That's just the muscles of the eyes. So the old school practitioner would claim the physiological stunt as hypnotic phenomenon and then ride the wave from there. That's what the eye fixation induction was all about. And later on, we'll actually play with an eye fixation induction. This is only nerding out with terminology. If it's fixation, but you now bring it up and it now involves rolling the eyeballs up, now it's fascination. However, all fascination is fixation, but not all fixation is fascination. You will never need that language again, but now you know. Fascination is when it's fixation, but it also involves the eyeballs rolling up, which, I mean, keep your head forward, roll your eyes up, you're going to start to already feel some tug and fatigue of the nerves of the eyes. It speeds up the fixation process. But all fascination is fixation, but not all fixation is fascination. Again, you will never need that again. Forgiveness is an emotional release process that will usually come out in typically an age regression style format. There'll be a whole segment on this later on, but note that forgiveness is a term that's very odd because we keep defining it by what it's not. How often do we do that? Forgiveness does not mean we suddenly forget. Forgiveness does not mean we condone what has happened. And it is a controversial moment when I talk about forgiveness and I do the unthinkable. I quote Oprah Winfrey, forgiveness is the release of hope that things could have gone differently. Ooh, that's a good one. Man, we should get that embroidered on a pillow. Forgiveness is the release of hope that things could have gone differently. Fractionation, we'll play with this today. It is a rising and falling of attention, a rising and falling of energy, a rising and falling of sensory awareness. So we will learn fractionation today as an eyes opening and closing. However, it can also be let that feeling rise on up and let it also go back down. It's the rising and falling sensation. Hallucinations, negative and positive. Negative, something's there, but we're not noticing it. Becky's not in the room. Positive hallucination, clock's on the wall. However, take note that it is all about sensory awareness. So I'm not telling you now that later on in your exam that you're going to get, most people get the answers wrong about hallucination when they write, see something that isn't there. Don't see something that is there. What's incorrect about that?
See.
They're negating the other four senses. Because remember the lemon. Remember, whoosh. Exactly. It's about sensing something. It's not just about visual nature. Hypersuggestibility, if I had to give you the buzzword that was behind everything that I do in hypnosis, it's this word, hypersuggestibility. Powerful state of suggestibility, it's an enhanced state of suggestibility, which is produced by deep hypnotic phenomenon. Let me give you the simplest paraphrase. Something hypnotic just happened, which now makes everything that follows now carry even more weight, even more importance. So let me give you a scenario briefly. I say something really meaningful to you is option number one. Option number two, your eyes were open, you're looking at your arm and you can't bend that thing. Close your eyes. As I tap the hand, it relaxes even further down. And now I make the same statement. Would you accept the idea that now that statement now carries even more importance because we're riding the wave of, wow, I am deeply hypnotized? Fair? That's hypersuggestibility. So it's the timing of the process. This is another one of these moments of working with intention rather than by accident. The principle of what's called the prestige suggestion, which normally we talk about as being a bad thing. When the doctor looks at you, well, you're going to have to deal with this pain the rest of your life. Dot, dot, dot. Or not. Or not. It's not necessarily the case. Where the doctor's saying that from a position of prestige, that can be accepted very strongly. But we as hypnotists also have the gift of prestige suggestions, and we can position it even stronger given our timing by saying the most important thing you need to hear after a moment of hypnotic phenomenon. Timing is everything. What's the secret to comedy? Timing. Oh, it's not timing. Timing. Time. Sorry. Missed the timing on it. Bad joke. Hypnotic hangover we briefly referenced yesterday. Physical discomfort experienced by emerging someone too rapidly. To solve it, you don't necessarily have to reinduce them back into hypnosis. In my mind, if they're still holding on to some fragments of the state, they're still in a suggestible state. In fact, there's a principle taught by a friend of mine, Sean Michael Andrews, who I've referenced, which the line is, once you stick them to one thing, you can stick them to something else. And even though it doesn't necessarily mean physically stick to something, if you accept this suggestion, that now compounds to this next suggestion as well. So look at the sequence yesterday, and you're going to learn the timing of this later on. Getting to eyes open hypnotic phenomenon, the arm is stiff and rigid, is a massive hypnotic phenomenon, especially with an eyes open state. But I did not do it until I'd already achieved the eye closure, until also I already had him struggling in that moment. And I even threw in an emotional suggestion. Some people laugh at that. It's kind of a funny sensation. And the moment he smiled, foot's in the door. I'm just compounding further and further down. You can hold on to the rest of the relaxation. You can hold on to the relaxation in the rest of your body, and cause-effect, as you open your eyes and look at your arm, that thing gets even stronger. I'm constantly linking one thing to the next. The action of looking at the arm, that thing gets even stronger. It's that compounding nature in that moment. So by folding it in and rolling it over more and more, because he's holding on to this suggestion, it's now only a logical step forward to move to the next one. So on the next span of things, why do I mention this with hypnotic hangover? Well, if they're still holding on to that fragment of that state, they're still in a suggestible state, which is where in the environment here, it's going to be a little bit more formal. I'm going to count from 1 to 5 slowly, and as I count from 1 to 5 slowly, feel like a cloud dissipating, that fuzz just dissipating away as it's gone by the count of 5 as your eyes open up. This is a place that in a stage hypnosis environment, I'm going to employ some theatrics just for the payoff of, again, stick them to one thing, stick them to something else. The snowball is going downhill. Oh, you've got a bit of a headache. Okay, that's really easy to solve. Everybody watch this. Here, come on over here. This is kind of interesting. Describe how you feel. It's like a headache. Check this out. All I have to do is get my finger nice and warm. And in a moment, I'm going to tap you on the forehead. And the moment I tap you on the forehead, it's as if a cloud just bursts and that clarity comes back into place. You're going to realize just how good you feel. You ready? Get ready. Here it comes. This is all the same as a 1, slowly, slowly, slowly. 2, building up. 3, it's all expectation at this point. Ready? And it's gone. How do you feel now? Wow. Yeah. To which is my moment where I just want to walk out of the room as fast as possible. Go, thank you, just to hear the stories. After on. It's the same formula. It's the same formula. Hypnoanalysis. Understand this is a word that you all should not use. Why? Because it's how the work used to be done. You will find in older books the method of hypnoanalysis, and the principle was, by way of hypnotic age regression, we find the cause. And then the phrasing at one point was, you then emerge from hypnosis. Well, Amy, it turns out the reason you had this issue is because of this thing that happened to you when you were 12 years old. But Amy, you're not that little 12-year-old girl anymore, so you don't have to feel that anyway. Awesome. And my take on this is maybe when we were a less cynical society, and I hate to use this next statement, though there's a moment, and I give you the example, there's a moment where sometimes in a bit of patter I referred to as the moment we see the police officer, we give them a sense of authority. I've had to edit that phrase out in recent months, which is an unfortunate thing. And yes, it's the example of one bad apple ruining the bunch and changing the expectation, where, I hate to say it, doctors used to be given a lot more authority than they're getting nowadays. So it's that moment where, again, hypnoanalysis may have been the model at one point. Find the cause, and the line is, in some older textbooks, sit back and watch the miracle unfold, as if the insight was all we needed to produce the change. Not so much anymore. Hypnoanalysis is the path moving backward in our conversation. The hypnotherapeutic process is then moving forward. So there is a local hypnotist who has on our website the big ad, I do hypnoanalysis, which is the fastest way to, the equivalent would be, hey, you got the flu, come on in, we'll do a bloodletting. It's only, no, it's out-of-date information. And from our conversation, it's only like 1/8 of the hypnotic age regression process you're going to be learning here. And it's the briefest segment of what you're going to be learning.